Jesus, through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile. Seeking the lost ones, he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to
That sure was a blessing. Appreciate that. Well, praise the Lord for God's people. And appreciate folks being willing to serve and give of their time and their efforts. You know, God is less interested in ability than he is in availability. And we just make ourselves available to God. That's when he can do wonderful works. And preached a message a number of times over the years about Moses and the power that God put upon Moses' life and how he used Moses and about that rod that Moses had. You know, there's a conversation that God had with Moses, and he said, "Moses, what's that in your hand?" And he said, "It's a rod." And then to develop that and everything that God did with that stick, you know. And we just give God what we have. There's no telling what he what he might do with our limited abilities. The limited things we have at our disposal, God can do tremendous things. And so if we just be available to God, "Here I am, Lord, send me," no telling what God might do. And I'm probably literally speaking to the choir this morning. Probably nothing new, but if we'll be available, just no telling what God might do for us. Well, I'm going to preach this morning out of just a little book in the Old Testament called the Book of Ruth. If you'd like to turn with me, please. The Book of Ruth, it's right in between the Book of Judges and the Book of 1 Samuel. And this is placed right in the, basically in the middle of the time of the judges. And it's interesting to note, when we think about the Bible and the names of the books of the Bible, you know, you think about Daniel and what a great man, a great Christian, if you were, Daniel was. What a great believer and a solid follower and servant of God, Daniel. And then, you know, other books, Ezra, Nehemiah, these books named after these great people of God. Amen. And we come to the Book of Ruth. Do you all know who Ruth was in the beginning? She was a little Moabite girl. Pagans. She was a little pagan girl, worshiping false gods. And then here we are all these years later, and God named a book of the Bible, inspired it, preserved it, and we have it in our hands today. This book is named after someone who was a pagan. Now that gives me hope. Amen. Thank God, because we don't have to end up how we started. Amen? And I believe how we finish is much more important than how we started many times. And so I'm thankful that God gives us that little tidbit there. But here we are in the Book of Ruth. I am going to read four verses here out of chapter number one. I don't know your custom, but I like to have everyone stand in honor of God's word. This isn't for you. It's not for me. We're standing in honor of God's word. Yes. You know, I believe Ezra, when you read in the book of Ezra, maybe was the first time that we really see that the people of God stood for the reading of God's word. And by the way, they stood all day long. If you go back to the book of Ezra, they stood and they listened to the reading of the word of God all day. We won't do that here. But we do carry on that tradition. Well, more than a tradition. We carry that on. And I've said this many times. If we don't stand for God's word, no one else is going to. Who will? So we'll stand. I'll read the first four verses here of the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. And I'm going to just ask God to help me today. And then I'll let you be seated for the remainder of the message. If you would follow along here in the book of Ruth, chapter number 1, the Bible says this. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went out to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, now I know we say Naomi, you can say it either way, I don't care, it doesn't matter to me. And I may say it both ways as I'm going through, so forgive me if I do that. And she was left, so Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Verse 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. I'm going to stop reading there for now. If you would, bow with me, and I'm just going to ask God to help us today. Father, I thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for these people that are here, God, your people, gathered in your house, in your name, around your word. And we give you all the praise, God, for you alone are worthy of our praise. You alone are worthy of our exaltation and our worship. You are worthy of all glory and all preeminence, Lord. And I ask, God, that you would glorify thyself today. Lord, I pray that you would show us individually, Lord, what we stand in need of today. Lord, I have this message before me, this outline, these few thoughts in front of me, God, but I ask you that you would take my simple thoughts and my simple words, and that you would use them and Lord, do a work that only you can do, that your word would go much farther than mine do. And Lord, as I always ask, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, Lord, have thy will today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. So I want to preach just a little while today here about Ruth. Now we're going to talk specifically about this young woman and her life. Now I will, without getting too far ahead of ourselves, and many of you I'm sure are very clear on this, that this picture, of course, the Bible is full of types, typology, and pictures. And Ruth is a picture of the sinner, of an unbeliever. And and then it develops and she becomes a picture of the church. And the book of Ruth is really divided by chapters. And if I have an old Scofield study Bible, it doesn't matter. But in the beginning, under the title of the book of Ruth, Mr. Scofield gives kind of an outline of the book itself by chapter, and he says chapter 1 is Ruth deciding, chapter 2 is Ruth serving, chapter 2 is Ruth resting, and chapter 3 is Ruth resting, and chapter 4 is Ruth rewarded. And that is basically kind of how the Christian life goes. You know, we have to make a decision, and then as we decide that we want Christ and we choose Christ, then He puts a call on our lives and we begin to serve, and then there's a rest that's involved in the economy of God, and then there's that great reward. And you know, there is a reward coming to all who are faithful to God, those who are of God's children. There is a reward coming, then there is a rest still coming. I don't believe we'll have great rest while we're here, but there is a rest coming for God's people, and there is a reward coming as well. So I've got a handful of points here. I believe there are six little points, and we'll get through them fairly quickly. I don't want to keep you long today. But we see here this young woman, and we first of all, I'm going to look at her heritage. And we spoke of it already. Ruth was not an Israelite. Like the Bible tells us about us before we are saved, we are aliens. We are outside of the commonwealth of Israel. We have no claims on the promises of God. As Gentiles, we had no claims. And Ruth, being a Moabite. Now, and many or maybe all of you understand who Moab was. Moab was the name of the child that was born out of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his oldest daughter. You remember that? When they got him, his daughters got him drunk, and Moab was the child, the son that came forth out of that relationship with Lot and his oldest daughter. These are the children of Moab. Now, we know that there was a famine in the land of Israel. They were desperate. If you remember how it was with Joseph and his brethren, and there was a famine in the land, and his brethren went down to Egypt, and God just worked it out so that Joseph was there and took care of them and sustained the family and sustained the children of Israel. God is always working doing those things. Amen. God is at work here. And Ruth didn't know it, and Naomi didn't know it, and Elimelech didn't know it, and Mahlon and Chilion didn't know it, but God was doing something great, not only for a family and for an individual, but for a whole nation. Amen. And even beyond that, for us, the Gentile church, He was doing a wonderful thing here. God is always doing that. God is always ahead and always working. So we see that in her heritage, Ruth, in this beginning, is a type of a lost sinner. She was outside of the promises. She was outside of the covenants. She had no right to God's promises because of who she was. But I thank God that it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter our background. It doesn't matter how rich or how poor we grew up. It doesn't matter how easy things were, how hard things were. When it comes to salvation, we're all the same. What's the old saying? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We've all got to get to God the same way, and that's through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Amen. But her heritage was that she was a Moabite. She was pagan. They worshipped Satan under the name of Chemosh. Their main god, small g, God, was Chemosh. It was basically Satan worship. And that's who they worshipped. We worship Jesus Christ. Israelites worship God Jehovah. On the other flip side of that card, these Moabites were worshiping Satan. But they just called him Chemosh. They had idols and all those things. And they worshiped and they bowed down to this false god. You can read that in Genesis chapter 19, verse 33 and following. But I want us to see here in verse number 5, we'll read a couple of verses here. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. What a tragic thing. Now the Bible says they were there 10 years. And I'm not sure if that's after the men died. Anyone have any clarification on that? The Bible says, and they were there 10 years. Regardless, here they were. Here they are, the men have all died. Now I know women are very strong and women can be independent and do what they need to do, but let's think about that. Here's this woman who's left her family and left everything she's ever known, gone to a foreign country just to survive. Now her husband's dead and both her two sons are dead. Now she's got these girls to look after. It's no wonder when they got back, Naomi said, "Call me bitter, call me Mara. For God's taken a lot from me," and a lot had, you know, seemingly had been taken from her. She had lost a lot. I can't imagine that, what that would be like. But in Ruth's heritage, she had no claim to the goodness of God. She had no claim to God's promises. The Bible says, verse number 6, this is Naomi. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So God, the famine was over. Things had changed. Rain had come. Crops had grown while they were gone. By the way, there was no Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook or any of that stuff back then. And word did get around, but she heard, hey, things are better back home. Let's get out of here. And I won't read the rest of it, but you can read, and I'm sure you remember that Orpah chose to stay with her people, but Ruth, the Bible says, I believe it says, clave unto Naomi. There's something about Naomi, and I believe there's something about Naomi's God that Ruth liked. And she ended up saying, I'm going to go where you go, live where you live, and I'll even die where you die. I want to be the kind of people you are. And so they left. And they headed back home. I want us to read verses 16 and 17 here. I know I'm skipping some of the content, but for sake of time, I want to look at verse 16 and 17. Because first of all, we see her heritage. Then we really see Ruth's heart in verse 16 and 17. And Ruth said in verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee. Don't ask me again, Naomi. Don't ask me to leave your side. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And here we have it. And thy God, my God. Now this was a younger woman. We don't know how old she was exactly. But this was a young woman, and evidently she had heard something about this God, this Jehovah God, this the God of Israel. She heard something about Him, and something had stirred in her and drawn her to God. And she said, I want your God to be my God. Now I just got an idea that Ruth got saved over there in Moab. I believe she did. You say, well, saved by grace. It's always been saved by grace. Yes, things looked a little bit different in the Old Testament, but it's always been saved by grace through faith. Amen. I believe that. I'm sorry if you don't. But she believed. Amen. And she said, I want the God that you have. I don't want to go back to my people and follow Chemosh anymore. He never did a thing for me. But I've seen what God has done in your family. I believe there was some testimony going on. Maybe some family altar time around Elimelech's table. Maybe they got into the prophets and read some of the prophets and read some of what God had done. And old Ruth's heart got stirred, and she said, I want a God like that. I don't want some dead statue. I want a real God. And she told Naomi when they were getting ready to leave, she said, I don't want to go back to my people. I'd rather go somewhere with you I've never been before. Because I want your God to be my God. When verse 17, where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. Don't even bring me back here. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And Naomi said, okay, I won't argue with you anymore. Sounds like you got your mind made up. So we see her heart. She had a soft heart, but her heart was toward God. Now the Bible says this, and the Lord Jesus Christ said this in John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me cometh unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. See, I believe Ruth had taken a step of faith toward God, maybe more than one. And God put in her heart, okay, Ruth, just come on. Just come on, Ruth. And Ruth made that decision. I don't believe it was a light decision because she was leaving her entire family. She didn't owe Naomi anything. Her husband was dead. She could have gone right back to what she was doing. But she chose to go back to Israel and become one of them. Now we move on to chapter number 2. And we see in the last few verses of chapter number 1 where they come back and Naomi said, don't call me Naomi anymore, call me Mara. The Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. And I understand there's a spiritual aspect to that. You know, she should have you know, she should have known that God was working, all those things. But let's be, can we be honest? Can we just be human for a minute? I mean, have you ever felt like, boy, this just isn't fair? This just isn't fair. How can this be good for me? And all things are not good in this life. But God said in the book of Romans that He will make all things. How does the Bible say that? Romans, is it Romans 8? He will work all things together for our good, to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. He will work all things together for good. Not that all things are good, but He'll take even the bad things and work them together for good. And we experience that all throughout our life. Not all things are good, but God can make them work for good. So we see her heritage and we see her heart. Then I want us to see her hands. We're in chapter number 2 now. Chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse number 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now, at this point in time, you know, we assume that Naomi knew Boaz or knew about him, knew who he was. But I don't know that for sure, because when we get down here in the verses, it wasn't until after Ruth had met Boaz where Naomi stepped in and said, "You stick with that guy." We don't see here in the first few verses where Naomi tells Ruth, "Hey, we need some help here. Go see Boaz." By the way, it was Ruth that came up with the first thought. The Bible says in verse number 2, "And Ruth, the Moabitess," here we are reminded again who Ruth really is. What's her heritage? Her back. She's a Moabite. God's reminding us, this is someone that had no connection to me naturally. By the way, neither did you or I. We had no connection to God naturally. We were the enemies of God in our flesh because of our father Adam, the first Adam. We had no kinship to God. And Ruth the Moabitess, verse number 2 of chapter 2, said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." She doesn't know Boaz. She's just saying, "I'm going to go out in the field and maybe someone will take notice of me and have pity on me. And if someone does that, I'm going to stick with them as far as I can." Because she said, peradventure. And so, she went. Verse number 3. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, I like that word. She just so happened. See, in those days, there were big, huge barley fields, and everyone kind of worked collectively in a community. Because usually in one community, there was usually one threshing floor. And maybe the most wealthy or whatever farmer would have the threshing floor. And everybody would come to the same threshing floor and thresh their grain, their barley or whatever it was. And so there was all, but everybody kind of knew what section was theirs and what area was theirs. She just goes out into the field. She doesn't know where she is. Ruth just said, "I'm going to go out in the field. I'm going to start gleaning." By the way, you know what that was. She's just picking up whatever was left. Because the men would come through, typically in these days, the men would come through, they'd cut down the barley. The ladies would come around behind it and shock it all up and stand it and bundle it all up and gather everything that they could, not wasting anything. They were trying not to waste anything. And then there were those that would come behind reaping. And that's just picking up a kernel here and a kernel here. Just what was accidentally dropped, accidentally missed, not purposefully. And it took a lot of work and it took all day long to get enough for a bowl full. But she said, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to grab what I can after the reapers. She's just picking up a grain here and a grain there. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. She didn't know where she was. God just worked that out. Isn't it amazing what God has done and what God is doing? He was of the kindred of Elimelech. So we see her hands here. She's willing to work. She's willing to go to work. She's willing to do what she needs to do. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 said, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Ruth had a mind to work. She had hands to work, and she went to it, trusting that God was going to take care of her. And he did. In verse number 4, so we see her hands, and then we see her hap. We see her hap. Just so happened that she ended up in Boaz's field, the one that Naomi was related to through Elimelech. It was a cousin of Elimelech. Boaz comes from Bethlehem. He was in town doing business, probably. He comes out into the field, and he said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And then said Boaz in verse 5 unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? He saw Ruth out there in his field, and he said, who's this? Who's this young woman? And the servant, verse 6, that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said to this servant who's over the reapers, she said, I pray you, please, I'm begging you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. So here's Boaz. He's the man in charge. He's the owner. He shows up and he said, I don't recognize this young woman out here in my field. Who is that? And the servant came in to him and he said, well, you know, she just kind of showed up. Only thing I know about her is she's a Moabite, that Moabite girl that came back with Naomi, and her husband died over there. And she just said, hey, can I hang around and, you know, follow up after the reapers and glean out here? And he said, I just kind of let her go. There's something interesting about this too. So in the law of Moses, in Israel's law in this day, not everyone had a right to go out in the fields and do this. Moabites who wanted to be sojourners, you've seen the word in the Bible, sojourn. If they wanted to be accepted and have some of these rights, sojourners, I'm going to read this. This is not mine. I found this. Sojourners are authorized to glean from fields according to Leviticus 23:22. But the manager here, the servant of Boaz, wasn't sure if Ruth qualified or not. Sojourners are non-Israelites who live in Israel. They are fully responsible to obey the rituals of the law of Moses. They had to observe the Sabbaths. They had to observe the feasts. We see that laid out in Exodus 20 and Numbers 9. But they're also protected by the law of Moses. But there are standards for earning this ability to sojourn or to have these rights. Edomites and Egyptians qualified if their families had lived in Israel for 4 generations. So to have the right to do what Ruth is doing, Edomites and Egyptians would have had to been there for 4 generations before they'd have the right to go out in the fields and gather. Moabites, it's 11 generations. This young lady's only been there a few days. Boaz could have gone out in that field and said, get your sorry Moabite hind end off my land. Because that's the law. Thank God there's somebody that's bigger than the law. Thank God that God can overcome that law. And Boaz said, You stay, young lady. You gather all you can. By the way, we won't go into it, but remember he said, he told his reapers, hey, drop a little bit on purpose. Drop a little bit on purpose. Make some piles of that barley and just leave it over here. And she'd go and gather those up and take it home, and her and Naomi did well. And the story moves on. So we see her heritage, and we see her heart, and we see her hands, and we see her happen. It just so happened that she landed in Boaz's field. She had a heart toward God. She was willing to work, and God provided for her. Now, you know, there's the old saying, you know, God helps those who help themselves. That's not biblical. God helps us many times when we have nothing that we can do. But God blessed her because she had a heart toward God. James 4:8 says, draw an eye to God, and He will draw an eye to you. I said before, Ruth had taken some steps toward God, and God sees that, and God notices that. And when we step and draw an eye to God, God said, I'll draw an eye to you. And He met her. So we see her hap. Then, looking in verse 8, we see her hero. And of course, Boaz is a type and a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the kinsman redeemer. He's the second Adam. He came to be like one of us. He came to this earth. He was born as a man. He lived a life as a man. He was all man and all God. He's tempted in every point, like as we are, yet without sin. He knows the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched with those feelings. He knows exactly the things that we deal with and what we go through. And He has compassion on us. Verse number 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth. Won't you listen to me now, he said. Hearest thou not, my daughter? Here's Ruth. She's a Moabite. She's only been there for a few days. She has no rights to anything. And he calls her a daughter. You're precious to me. There's something about you. I want you to listen to me. He says, don't go to anybody else's field. You stay right here. You operate within the things that I have control over. And that's where we ought to operate as God's children. You know, God, we need to operate under His control. Not go outside of where God is operating. We need to operate where God's control is. Go not to glean in another field in verse number 8. Neither go from hence. Don't leave here, but abide right here. Stay with my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. And he protected her. Verse number 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. He said, I've seen your faith. You have displayed faith. Amen. How do we come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Still by faith. By grace, through faith, are you saved. He said, I've seen your faith. You came to a place you didn't know. You left everything you knew. That can only happen by faith. You've come by faith. And now you'll be rewarded. And isn't that how it is with our Lord? We come by faith. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, the Bible tells us. Boaz, a type of Christ, the kinsman redeemer, owned the field she was in. He had the power to redeem her and to change her life. And he was willing to do it. But he just had to get past one person. You know, there are no challenges too big for God. But in order for you and me to be saved, there was an obstacle that Christ had to go over, and that was That was us. That was our humanity. And we have to surrender to Christ. We have to repent. That man of sin, we have to, the Bible says we have to die. And Boaz was willing to redeem Ruth. But there was one in the way. And he had a conversation with that, he was a nearer kinsman. We have a near kinsman. It's this old flesh, this old body of flesh that we have. We got from Adam. And Christ died in the flesh to redeem us so that our flesh could be crucified. I am crucified with Christ. My flesh has to be crucified with Christ. The old man has to die in essence so that the new man could be born.
Amen.
And Boaz comes and he said, I've got to take care of something. I'm willing to do the work, but I have to overcome the old man. I have to overcome that natural man. And so he has a meeting with this other man. In verse number 5, then said Boaz of chapter 4, then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. Isn't that true about the flesh? It can't redeem a soul. Nothing that this world or this flesh can do for our eternity. Our nearest kinsman is our flesh. It can't redeem us. We cannot be redeemed by that. Boaz comes and he says, it's yours. It's yours to redeem. This work is yours. And the flesh says, I cannot redeem it. Then Boaz says, I will redeem it. And there was a custom in verse number 7, the manner of the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to conform all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman sent it to Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe, and Boaz said unto the elders and unto the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife.
Amen.
Isn't that what Christ did for us? Time after time, the Bible tells us that He purchased us. He bought us with His own blood. Acts 20 verse 28 talks about the church which He hath purchased with His own blood. Boaz had to deal with Naomi's very nature, her natural person, who she was. And no one else could redeem her except Boaz. No one else could redeem a lost soul except the Lord Jesus Christ. And Boaz is a perfect picture of our Savior. So we see her heritage in her heart. We see her hands, how she was willing to work. We see her hap, how she just so happened to land on Boaz's field. Then we see her hero, Boaz, a perfect picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then finally, we see her honor. Let's look at chapter 4, and let's look at verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became nurse to it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is born to Naomi a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Then we see the generations there. And if we look over again to Matthew chapter 1 and see the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz," that's Boaz of Rahab, "and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon," so on and so forth. And then comes the Lord Jesus. Right through the lineage of this little Moabite girl. What an unlikely story. What an unlikely end to the beginning that Ruth had. She was without hope. Outside of the promises of Israel. She had no hope in her people. She had no hope in her God. But thank God, one day a family came down the road from a neighboring country, and they carried with them a message of a God that they served. And it was so big of a message to her and so real to her that when her life was in the depths of despair, she made a decision. "I want your God." Amen. And when she made that choice, she became an heir of the things of God. But she became an ancestor of King David. Amen. And of our Lord. Amen. What a story. What a blessed thing. Amen. Ruth, a picture of a sinner born again and blessed by God and used in the family of God. That should give us all hope. All of us should give all of us hope, no matter where we started from, no matter even where we are. God can put us out in the middle of a field somewhere and still meet our needs and still do something mighty and wonderful. I don't know what you're dealing with today. No doubt in this room, there's someone, maybe multiple people, dealing with some very, very difficult things. But you're here. We're here. We're seeking God. We're following after God. We're trying to be obedient to God and honor Him. Amen. And when we do that, God promises us that He'll not forsake us. He'll not leave us. He will stand for us and He will fight for us. Amen. Cling to those promises. Stand upon those things, those promises of God. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." By the way, when you read that verse backwards, it still means the same thing. "Thee leave nor thee forsake, never will I." God will never forsake us. God will never leave us on our own, even though we may feel that way sometimes. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time. I thank you for your word. And God, I don't know the needs. I don't know these people personally and intimately, God, but I know that you do. You know every heartache. Lord, you know every troubled thought. Lord, you know every waking hour that some have spent, God. You know the challenges. You know the battles. But God, I also realize that not only do you know those things, God, you have the answers. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as your people to hold fast to your truth, hold fast to your strength, to stand upon the promises that you have given us in your word. As your people, as your children, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You'll never leave us without someone to stand for us. God, please comfort our hearts, strengthen us, encourage us today in these days in which we live, God, to continue to look to you for our strength. Thank you, Lord, for taking a little Moabite, little pagan girl, and bringing her into the lineage of our Lord and Savior. What a wonderful work that you have done, and what mighty things you continue to do. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.